Welcome to Westwood Church. We're glad you're with us for our Sunday worship this morning. Whether you're watching this with us live on Sunday morning or at some other time later during the week, we're glad that you've chosen to join us as we come together in virtual space to turn our hearts and minds to God. We as a community have at the core of our mission doing the work of faith, of doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with God. And we gather together for worship to help us, to encourage us, to guide us in that work. So welcome to this time together. You are welcome here. We're glad and grateful for every person who's able to join us in person and live and also online. We are richer because of your participation. I hope you've printed out our worship guide and can sing along with us. Join us as we pray, as we together are the body of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Join me in our morning prayer. God of our fathers and mothers, of all the generations who have come before us, holy is your name. We gather in your presence with praise and thanksgiving for the faithful love you have shown toward your people, for the many blessings you have given to us. Your promises are eternal, and they are backed by the honor of your name. Thank you for your faithful presence among us, even when we are not fully aware of it. Continue to reveal yourself to us. Open our eyes to see you here among us. Open our ears to hear your word. For surely you are with us in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Genesis chapter 28, verses 10 through 19a. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed that there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." And he was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Scripture reading is from Romans chapter 8. "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we also may be glorified with him. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, we pray that we would be attentive to your presence in our midst, that my words and our thoughts and our lives would reflect your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it, Jacob says as he experiences this mystical, otherworldly experience in the midst of his sleep that connects that place to the realm of God, a ladder with heavenly beings ascending and descending, linking that place where he sought refuge on a night as he journeyed from his home to seek a new future, fleeing the violence of his angry brother as he slept with his head on a rock for a pillow. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. I find these words to be such a gift in this particular time, this mean time, this distance between what was and what I hope will be a temporary time in which so much has been destabilized. My heart continues to be heavy with the reality of pandemic, with the recognition that we're not making the progress we need to stem the infection rate in our communities and nation, that restrictions on our interactions with each other and on our daily lives need to continue for perhaps quite a long while into the future, and the heaviness of the physical experience of navigating this time is weighing on me, perhaps on you too. The idea of continuing this for weeks and months ahead has me discouraged. And so Jacob, in his mystical vision of a ladder connecting heaven and earth, comes as quite a gift today. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. This week, as we continue our series, checking the roots, as we dig into the stories of our Hebrew Bible of the family of Abraham, we encounter Jacob having, in last week's text, tricked his brother out of his birthright, and then later out of the blessing from their dying father, flees in order to protect himself. With the reality and weight of the consequences of his decisions perhaps weighing on his shoulders, if with real fear for his safety, he leaves his home and goes to seek another wife. I love how the scripture in the space between last week's reading and this week's reading gives multiple accounts of why it is that Jacob fled. They choose to frame the story in different ways. Now, scholars of scripture might point to how this reveals to us the sources of the text that we have before us, how our scriptural text was woven together from various threads of tradition that preceded it. Perhaps that's why we have two different reasons given. In any case, scripture tells us that he fled both to protect his life and to seek a new wife. Like most of our family stories, it depends on who you ask and when. What the explanation is given for how things ended up the way they are. In any case, Jacob ends up spending this night out on his journey with a rock for a pillow. I don't know if it had the same significance in Jacob's culture it does as in my own, but the idea of having a rock for a pillow seems to be a low place in this moment of his life. It reflects a lack of provisioning, a vulnerability, a dependence on the earth itself to be the resting place, with no buffer, no cushion protecting body from earth. I spent a little bit of time backpacking many years ago, 20 days on the trail, and I have to say I became very grateful for my Therm-a-Rest, the sleeping pad on which I slept. I became envious of other backpackers I would pass who had the thicker, longer version of a sleeping pad. I became very aware as I moved through each day of the consequences of the place where I laid my body to rest the night before. And so in this moment, as we're given the detail of Jacob resting his head on a rock for a pillow, I feel a kinship with him in the midst of that moment of dependence, of vulnerability, of
a homelessness as he's left his home and on his way to another. I feel a kinship with Jacob in this moment in the world in which I'm more aware of vulnerability and mortality than usual, in which I'm more aware of how things are not how I hope they will be forever. I'm more hungry to be reminded that it won't always be like this. And even more, Jacob's text is a blessing because we hear this voice of God speaking to and through him as he declares the presence of God in that place. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. It gives me to believe that God is in all of these places, not just after we've made it to our destination, not just after we have arrived, not just after we've fixed the world so that it looks more like the reign of God, but in this place, in this meantime, in the midst of the journey when we have only rocks for our pillows, the Lord is in this place, and we may not recognize it. What a gift to us, to this world in this moment, to remember the preciousness, the beauty, the blessedness and belovedness of this place that we inhabit. Even as we're aware that we wish it were different, it does not mean that blessing is absent from us where we are. And it doesn't mean that we have to be happy with things as they are in order to recognize and offer gratitude for God's presence with us here in this mess. Jacob becomes one who gives words to help us verbalize helpful sentiment, helpful orientation toward God and ourselves, toward the world as it is and as it's becoming. Surely the Lord is in this place, he says, and I did not know it. He continues, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Now, of course, he's able to see that because he experienced this mystical vision in that place. But as Jacob offers these words, we dare to believe that it's also true for us where we are. And so this week, I invite you to find a way to mark the beauty, the blessedness, the belovedness of the place that you inhabit as the house or apartment that you're stuck in, as the home that's become also your children's day camp and school for the fall, as the home that you cannot leave even to tend the most simple of needs. I invite you to know the presence of God inhabiting this space. It's been a joy for me that we're able to offer these worship videos, this worship experience from this place, this holy sanctuary. But I want to be clear that the presence of God is not limited to this place, is not held in this beautiful environment. The scripture for us declares today the presence of God in all our places. If it could be with Jacob on his journey from his home to seek a new future as he rested his head on a rock, it can be with us where we are. The Lord is in our places. This past Lent, our children's ministry gave some tools for children to use with their families to mark the 40-day journey from Ash Wednesday to Easter. And as a part of that, there was a ritual to happen at mealtimes as the family was gathered around the table. As our family participated in this, I found myself surprisingly blessed by the gift of pausing to notice and mark God's blessing in our midst. Every day we had a special paper that we put on the table, a sort of mat that marked its holiness, an electric candle to light to mark the sacred time, and a little tube of something like lip gloss with olive oil inside to use to anoint and bless each other at the dinner table. The assignment and the directions were for each person to mark another person at the table, either drawing a heart or a cross on their hand or their forehead. The invitation was to offer a reminder of that presence of God to each other in the places where we are. I found myself moved by the participation in that simple blessing, in taking time to say and to feel what I know intellectually to be true, but need to be reminded of as these days continue in what seems to be an interminable span of time that leads between the now to the not yet. I invite you to take time to offer blessing to each other. I find it intriguing in this story from Genesis, as we encounter Jacob and his ladder that stretches to the heavens, that Jacob didn't have a pillow or cushion to rest his head on at night, but he had with him oil to use for blessing and anointing in that place. The scripture that we read tells us how Jacob set up that rock, named it as the house of God, and offered an oil blessing to give to it. You don't have to use oil. You might write in a journal or put a note on a sticky note that you paste on your mirror. You might speak it to each other or type it in the comments of this video, but I invite you to speak and mark and believe the presence of God in this place. Light a candle to make a moment holy. Offer a blessing in touch or in word to someone else whose life intersects yours. If you live with others, you can do this physically. If you're on your own, you can do it through written word, through text, through video call and chat. We have the power to mark the presence of God as it really is here present among us, to feel and be changed by that dissolving of any neat lines between this inferior, depressing, broken moment and God's presence in our midst. This is an enduring tension in our Christian faith, to locate ourselves in the midst of a world that is so full of brokenness, so full of injustice, and that contains in it deep sinfulness. In the midst of this world, we nonetheless dare to perceive the inbreaking, the incarnation of God into our very midst. We declare the holiness of these places that we inhabit, the earth itself. In our other scripture text for today from the book of Romans, Paul speaks into this tension between worldly things and heavenly things, between things of the flesh, as he describes them, and things of God. And we find a bleeding together of these two as they become intermixed that gives me space to dare to believe that though it's dangerous to live to my individual self, that I may yet in this earthly body, on this earthly inhabitation, experience things that are eternal, know and touch and taste the goodness of the realm of God. This is the space we Christians occupy. As the world is still full of injustice and brokenness, of death and fear, and yet this world is also the place where God keeps showing up. God keeps being present to us and with us, so clearly visible to us in the incarnation as Jesus becomes divine and human at once, breaking any delusion that we might have that this life, that this world, that our bodies cannot contain the divine. It helps save us from a binary we too often draw that declares bodies bad and heaven good. Instead, we dare to believe and work for recognition of the belovedness and blessing and beauty of all people. We dare to declare as a church the sacred worth and the great blessing of people who are LGBTQ and those who are straight, of people in the diversity of racial and ethnic identities that are a part of creation. We dare to claim the value and blessedness of all our places, not only the beautiful ones that we've set aside as sanctuaries or parks, but the everyday ones that we move through in our homes and yards and neighborhood, on our sidewalks and streets. All of this becomes an inhabitation of the divine. This brings with it struggle, and our scripture never promises that we're going to be free from struggle. In fact, Paul describes in vivid detail how all of creation is laboring in pain now, waiting for this deliverance together, this new identity that will come. He uses imagery that comes from maternal birthing to help us understand this work that we're a part of now, which is both bodily and human and transcendent, that is about who we are, but that we cannot manage. Paul invites us to dare to claim a new identity as those who are heirs with Christ for this world that's coming into being. I've always received that as blessing, but I was thinking recently about how complicated it would be to try to negotiate how to settle the estate of God if Jesus Christ was one of your siblings. This is a wild thing to think about. You may have had experience or heard tell of other families with disagreements or different perspectives about how to divide up the estate, how to claim, and how to then later pass on the inheritance that you've gained. Imagine doing that with Jesus Christ as another partner at the negotiating table. I cannot imagine exactly how it would change me, but I suspect that it would be a sobering reminder that the model set for us of how to be, how to think about our own lives and what we have, would be transformed by the presence of Jesus Christ at the table, whose very life was freely given for the sake of love for others, who chose postures of washing feet and healing outcasts, with Jesus there, an heir with us. We cannot help but be our best selves, make the decisions that we know we ought to make, but may sometimes be reticent to make. With Jesus as an heir with us, we have a responsibility to live into a love so fully shown in life and death and resurrection. It's wild to think that we get to be at that table with Jesus as those who have this power and responsibility and gift to together help determine what will happen in this world. It reminds us of the power and agency we have, even in the midst of a world where there's so much we cannot control. It's an invitation to be people whose lives reflect that love that is abounding, that is unconditional, that is relentlessly given grace. This is an invitation we need today to remind us of our holiness, of the beauty and holiness of this time and place, and of our invitation to work for a world even more holy. This is how I believe we'll have the power to continue the important work of dismantling racism, to continue to imagine a world that protects the climate of our earth for inhabitation by people in all places. This work requires us seeing the blessing and belovedness and beauty of all of creation. Back in the Genesis text, Jacob hears this blessing from God that describes for him the promise that will come. He hears a holy voice offering him land and descendants, with these words, "Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth." It got me thinking this week about dust, about our human identity as people who are both dust and spirit. My thoughts are informed by the writing and work of womanist theologian Karen Baker Fletcher, whose book, Sisters of Dust, Sisters of Spirit, is a beautiful meditation on these ideas of what it means to be both dust and spirit together in one. Womanist theologians, African-American feminist theologians, have so often helped us claim and reclaim the identity of blessing as belonging in these bodies, in this world, in this life, not drawing a separation line between dust and spirit, but marrying them together in one, uniting in a new wholeness our blessedness, the blessedness of life, the transcendence of even these physical bodies and times. She writes so beautifully an invitation to choose to live with this kind of holy dust. She says, "To love spirit, we must more fully love one another and the environment that sustain us. This is not an otherworldly abstract activity of self-gratification, which seems to be the goal of some popular forms of creation-centered mysticism. Rather, it involves dealing with both the generating dust of the earth that produces food and in the dust that threatens to bury the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the ill, the dying, the weeping, which needs to be removed. By the Spirit, we're called to realize the apocalyptic vision of a new heaven and a new earth by being wise stewards of body, dust, and spirit, engaged in the task of healing. As Jacob receives this message from God in which his descendants are described like dust, I believe that God is pointing not only to the multitudes of people, to the quantity of descendants that he will have, but to the reality of their belonging in this earth. The reality of God's invitation to let this inhabitation be a presence of the holy here and now. A promise of a greater fulfillment yet to come, but a declaration of blessing even now. And so I offer you again the words that Jacob speaks, having received that holy vision of heavenly beings ascending and descending. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. God is with us here, is with you now, is present to us and for us, offering life. May it be so. Amen.
I thank you. Thank you. This is a prayer based on a psalm of lament and praise in time of coronavirus by the Reverend Kenneth Howcroft. How shall we praise you, Lord our God? When we are locked down, how shall we praise you? When the doors of your house are barred and your people cannot assemble, when those desperately in need of money and work cannot find employment in the marketplace, when we have to circle around people in the street and line up at stores to maintain safe distance, when we can only communicate by hearing on the phone or seeing on the screen or digitally messaging or even just waving through a window, when we cannot meet our parents and children, grandparents and grandchildren, or other family members and friends, when we cannot touch them in their flesh and blood to know they are really alive, how shall we praise you? How, like Thomas, shall we not see, yet believe, that your Son is raised among us? How shall we praise you? How can I praise you, Lord? Are you plaguing us with this virus to punish us because we have all done wrong, or thought wrongly, or felt wrongly, or just been wrong? If so, why do only some die? And those, apparently, the ones who are the least worse, are most caring among us. Or are you trying to teach us a lesson? If so, why is it so hard to learn? And how are we to find the answer when we do not even know the question? Or are you still the same loving God, coming to us in our sufferings and opening the way to new life in Jesus? Lord, I will try to praise you through gritted teeth. I will try to praise you. I will try to remember that you have created all things. I will try to keep myself and others safe. I will work to pray for them and seek to help in whatever way I can. Lord, when I cannot pray or worship, help me be aware of all your people and your saints and angels hovering around me, lifting me up. When I feel alone, let me feel near you, even if only for a moment that enables me to go on. Let me hear you say, "Peace be with you." Lord, I will praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. And now together, let us pray using the words our Savior taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
We are climbing.
Thank you for being with us for worship here at Westwood Church today. We're glad that you've joined us, whether you're watching live with us on Sunday or sometime later. I encourage you, if you're watching on Facebook, to say hello in the comments if you haven't already. It means so much to see one another, even as we're named on Facebook, to know that even in this displaced time, that we are the gathered community that is the body of Christ. Thank you for being a part of this congregation. We're so grateful to have this way to connect with our church community that normally gathers in this space and also connect with other people who find us online. So welcome and thank you for being here. I encourage you to follow our Facebook page, to sign up for our weekly emails. You can do that on our website, westwoodumc.org. You can also give tithes and offerings through the website or by mail. We're grateful for the ways that everyone is able to offer of themselves during this time. This morning, we do have a prayer shawl, and this prayer shawl is given for Tanya's son's friend, Anne, who suffered a massive stroke recently. We pray for her and pray that this shawl would remind her of God's presence with her. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we pray your blessing on this shawl and especially on Anne, that you would be healing wherever it's possible, that you would surround her and her family always with awareness of your presence and the reality and depth of your love. We pray for all those who struggle for health. May you bring life. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Now, as we prepare to depart this time together, I pray that you would know this time to have been holy, but that you also would mark the place where you are and the moments ahead as inhabitations of the divine. God is with us in these places, even when we do not know it. May you feel and know the life-giving presence of God. Go in peace. Amen.